Hello everyone, I'm Troy Dodds and welcome to the On The Record podcast presented by The Western Weekender. On this podcast I'm joined by special guests who all have such great stories to tell about Penrith and the role they've played in our city. They are Penrith stories told by Penrith's people. Today, my special guest is Warren Smith. Warren has been president of the St Mary's Rugby League Club for 35 years, recently announced his upcoming retirement. Warren has had an extraordinary involvement with local rugby league, building St Mary's into a powerhouse club. He's also given plenty back to the community through various means, including the Variety Bash. Warren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
First question we always ask, when and where were you born and where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Grafton and come up around Ulmarra, which is not far out of Grafton, and went to South Lismore School. Then at the age of 15 I came down to Sydney, out to Mount Druitt, stayed with my sisters out there, and from then met my wife, married, and just stayed in Sydney, over at Willoughby, now back in St Mary's for the last 50 odd years, so yeah.
Tell me about your parents, what were they like?
They were good. My father was, he was in the army of course, he went to the army, that's when we were still living in Lismore, and yeah, my mother died when I was 15, that's why I came down to Sydney to stay with my other sister.
Sure.
My sister, and yeah, so that was my father. You know, he I don't know how he did it, but he married three times.
Right, okay. What about school? What kind of student were you?
Yeah, I went to Lismore High and was intermediate certificate, and that was as far as I went with the schooling. I did do a commercial course after that, apart from that, it was nothing much.
And what about after you left school? What was the first job that you remember taking on?
First job was, would you believe, telegram boy on the push bike around Parramatta area.
Right, okay.
But then after that, I got into production and a plywood company at Homebush Bay, which I was there for 25 years. And then when they closed down, I went straight to another plywood company in sales and marketing. And so that's about 50 or 60 years in plywood industry. And then I sort of retired. I still do a bit for this company that I read 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I look after two of their big customers for them. And yeah, still a employed, or still looking after me anyway. They are.
Back to the first job. I'm always fascinated by jobs that that no longer exist. So the telegram concept. That's obviously, yeah, someone wants to send a telegram. You're riding around and delivering it to them.
That was especially Parramatta. At North Parramatta, there the hills were a bit hard.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
When did rugby league first come into your life?
About 50 odd years ago now. It started off with when I moved up to Tregear, and then the old North St Mary's Hotel. I used to go down there, have a few drinks, and then they started a rugby league club up from that, and then the Tregear Foxes, which doesn't exist anymore. Mm. They asked me to come over and be the their treasurer. They were battling a bit, and secretary, and I was there for 3 years with them. Doubled and tripled their money over those 3 years to get them going, get them really on top. But then it just, after that, we had a North St Mary's Hotel, which is opposite where the club was, which actually burnt down. We had I was involved with the senior side there. And then at that time, that stage, Tony Dicker, which was president of the board of the club across the road then, St Mary's Lees Club, which has only been open for 2 or 3 years, he came and asked me to come over to St Mary's Leagues and run the junior league there. And I did, he said, because you'll come on the junior league. He said he was going to retire after 12 months from the board, and then I'd nominate and get on the board, and then it all just went from there.
And that approach to join St Mary's, I guess, changes your life in many ways, because St Mary's then, you know, becomes a huge part of your life.
Yeah, it sure did. Well, from then on, it was just St Mary's Junior League, and then I was there for 2 years with the Junior League, and then I was nominated and got onto the board, and I've been on that board ever since. And then it's, you know, it's 40-odd years now involved with the Junior League.
What was St Mary's as a suburb, as a city like back then when you first joined the club in the mid-80s?
Well, there's nothing. I remember their old green shed down at where Target is now.
Yeah.
But, and they'd only just built the club across the road, which is only really a square box when they first started off. And I've been there ever since, of course, but it's just the sides, when I was in there, they've, when I first went there and got on the board in the Junior League, they had 14 sides. Their jerseys must have been about 4 or 5 years old. They were just bad. Told them to throw them all out, and I went and got sponsors for those 14 teams. And each year we gradually built them right up to, we end up with nearly 60-odd sides at one stage, but Penrith Junior League then cut down the how many sides you could have. We were quite happy with that. And, this year we've still got 58 teams this year.
What about rugby league in that period? So this is a period now where Penrith is finally starting to enjoy a little bit of success, made the finals a couple of times in the 80s. Rugby league in the district as a whole was obviously starting to gain more and more popularity.
Yeah, it sure did. After that, we did get involved with Penrith over the years being their what they call it, their reserve grade side, I suppose. Mm. The Cougars, which was very successful, and but then we opted out of that after a couple of years. We didn't feel that we were getting the St Mary's Leagues Club was getting the benefit that they should be getting out of looking after quite a lot of those Penrith players, and it just didn't. So we sort of pulled out of that, and we were a sleeve sponsor with Penrith for a while, and we didn't think we were getting the benefit out of that now, but now it's completely different now with the with us being the feeder club to the Panthers. The other week, 2 weeks ago, it was only I think we had 6 or 7 Penrith juniors in the NRL Panthers side, so which is pretty good.
1989, you become president of St Mary's Leagues, and you remain in that position for a few more days. Recording this just before the end of March. How did it come about that you were elected president?
The board selected by the with the voting with the members. You nominate, and then that goes out to all the members to vote for the board. Mm-hmm. Once the board's selected, the board then selects the chair, the president, the vice president, and 2 vice presidents. So that was once the 9 selected, they vote on the president, and I was nominated, and ever since then, that was just the support of the board was just fantastic, and it hasn't changed. Well, it has now, but...
Could you imagine back then, 1989, that you'd still be in the role in 2024?
No, I didn't think that. I thought, well, each year, because at that stage it was only every 12 months was nominations for the board. It's only the last 8 or 10 years that it's a two-year go now before the voting. But, it was a year-to-year thing, and, to last and have the support of the other board members was just terrific.
We have seen that in club land over the years, where boards have moved on, or there's a rival group that comes in and whatnot. What's been the success to St Mary's being pretty steady over all those years, and for you being able to remain in the role?
Yeah, I think the main thing is the all the board rugby league people. It's you've got to be an A-class member to to nominate for the board, which means you've got to be involved with rugby league over a certain period of time. And it's the board, we've just got on just fantastic together, really. It's we're all there for the same reason, to promote the game of rugby league in Australia or overseas and everything. So they've supported me right through all those years.
1990s, obviously the Panthers enjoy some success, and St Mary's is producing more and more great talent. What was that era like in the 90s for St Mary's and producing so much great rugby league talent?
Well, it was good for us, and it was good for the club, and good for the district too, really. It's because of we could see the local juniors coming through, and that was the main thing, that the more players we could get, the more players, local players, are being used, the better it was for the club and the teams that we kept getting, and increasing the teams just showed up that it was going the right direction.
I think you mentioned earlier the record number of teams. I think it was the late 90s or early 2000s, 50, 60 teams. Yeah. Like, that's pretty immense to be able to get that many juniors playing rugby league for St Mary's.
Yeah, well, we've got we had a record year most probably about 8 years ago now. We had 19 premierships, which I think will never be beaten now, because it's you don't have grand finals for the under sixes, sevens, or eights, or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So to do that again would almost be impossible now.
Yeah, pretty incredible that you sort of won that many titles. At one point, a pretty important thing that happens, I think this is in maybe 2002, but you open the stadium there at St Mary's, so St Mary's League's stadium. That's been pretty critical in St Mary's success and stature as a club as well.
Yeah, well, it was. That's been fantastic. I know Bill Webster was the CEO at that stage. And then we, at the board meeting, we suggested that find out the cost of putting a rugby league field over there. I won't tell you what he said, but it happened. And we said, regardless of the comments, was we want to find out the price. And I think that was something fantastic that we did, and we went along with that. And it was actually for quite some time called the Western Weekender.
Yeah, well, I think it still gets called that every now and again. People, it's sort of one of those stadium names that stuck around. Why did you think it was important to build it?
Well, because of the area and the amount of teams we had, and the facilities that we had the ground there, and that it was a place that we thought would continue and grow and help the promotion of our teams on a better ground and a better place to play, and also to be able to use those facilities for other representative games and all that sort of thing.
A pretty big move for any club to make. You mentioned it was pretty expensive, but yeah, it certainly paid off.
Yeah, we did. Well, back in before that, when we went to court to get tax exemption, and at that stage I think we had about $2 or $3 million in the bank, and I know the judge, when we went in there and made the application for the tax exemption, was a bit concerned that we were going to put that money towards a hotel, which we'd said in a couple of our AGMs, my reports, but he gave us the benefit of the doubt. And because we said no, it's towards a rugby league field, and that judge made that decision, and since then we've had a taxation exemption for sport. So it's been it's good. We check every 12 months or 2 years how we're going as far as what we're putting back into rugby league and anywhere else, and we've all. Whenever the taxation might ask the questions, we're ready to show them that we're putting everything back into the rugby league what we can.
What about the Leagues Club itself, sort of over the years and during this period? Because that's obviously, you know, a pretty critical part of what you do. You've seen a lot of growth there and a lot of changes there over the years at the club. And how important has it been to make all those changes to keep it relevant as well?
Yeah, well, with the we've got 51,000 members now, and we need those facilities now. It started off as a square box. And the foresight then from Bill Webster and the other early directors was to buy that land was just incredible. It was an excellent move. And now we've just, because of the membership and the things with the club progressing, that's why the directors have decided on all those extensions and refurbishments and that sort of thing. We keep on top of that. And we've just finished, of course, the hotel a couple of years ago, $25 million hotel there that we run and own. Then we've just finished the new entrance and the new sports bar, which was fantastic. We just continue to improve and give the members the facilities they need. And it's working. The club's going really well.
Must have been a lot of challenges over the years as well. All clubs face challenges at different times and different governments, different rules and different proposals and all of that. Pretty hard to sometimes stay on top of all that stuff and also have to, I guess, stand up for yourself when there might be some issues.
Yeah, well, we've had a few talks with Penrith Council at times.
Yeah.
A few arguments too and a few, yeah. We've got around things. It's been hard, especially with if you need to get the ground rezoned and all that sort of thing. That is very hard, and we've made a few decisions that we sold part of the land, of course, to where the Masters was, but now the other distribution centre that's there. We sold a little bit of land across the road where the aged care facility is. We still own the where the McDonald's are on, and we've just in the process now. We've finished the new entrance and new sports bar. Now in the process now of putting solar out under the car park and everything that to make things a lot more better for all our members.
You made it pretty clear a few times that rugby league is obviously the core focus of the club. We know that, but sometimes rugby league clubs can almost forget that at times. But you seem like you've been always pretty determined to make sure that rugby league remains at the forefront. I know if you walk through the club, that's pretty obvious as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing. That's in our constitution to propagate the game of rugby league, and the board's never changed from that ever since I've been there.
And you must be proud over the years too. I mean, every time a St Mary's Junior makes a first grade debut or an NRL debut at Penrith or another club, that does it ever get old? Must still make you pretty happy?
Excellent. Every time we get a new one up there, it's just makes us feel, as you say, proud, and to be able to get these players, giving them the opportunity. Whether they're up with Panthers, which are, most of them are going up there now, but to other clubs, as long as we can get them playing, that they're giving them the opportunity to go higher in the grades, the rep sides and in the grade. It's great.
You mentioned the changes earlier, no under sixes grand finals and things like that. You must have seen a lot of changes over the years in regards to rules and regulations for junior footy. I can imagine when you first started, it was very different to how it is now in terms of safety and all of those sort of things.
Yeah, it sure is. The safety side of it is just very big, really. And we've even with our mini sides, 5s, 6s, 7s, 8s, and 9s, I think we've made them. The six, especially the mini sides, compulsory that they have headgear, even those their reports that it doesn't really stop concussion or that sort of thing, but it gives these young kids the thought that they're going to be okay, But they can't register with our club unless they agree to wear the headgear.
There's a lot of controversy over rule changes and things like that, but for you, I guess it's all about participation. So you need to make sure that, you know, there's participation continues, and sometimes those rules are necessary to make sure that happens.
Yeah. Well, with the way it's going now, with the no competition, no grand finals, they're putting the age up all the time. The kids still know who won, of course. But,
yeah.
But it's it's just something that they're the rules now, and we've got to abide by them. Any changes, we have to abide by them, and we do.
You mentioned earlier about the Cougars. I was going to ask you about that. So that was a pretty significant time. Obviously, you know, had some issues there, and you mentioned that the partnership ultimately sort of disbanded. But that was a big step for St Mary's to essentially be represented in that that Premier Reserve Grade competition.
Yeah, it sure was. And all the players we had there was they just keep saying, you know, they want to come back and play with St Mary's. Instead of being called up to, you know, reserve grade, whatever they had at Penrith, they said, no, they would tell them up at Penrith they'd rather play down at St Mary's. They reckon we were spoiling them, but we did spoil them, but they deserved it anyway, and they, I think we got the grand final that year with the Cougars, and it was good time.
Yeah, and ultimately, though, things change, I guess, and it's always difficult, I guess, when you're partnered with the first grade NRL team, because that's always going to be seen as the priority, and St Mary's can often be, I guess, the, you know, the partner that misses out on some things or that feels a bit neglected at times.
Yeah, it's it is. It's the thing is with that thing now with the Cougars and with our Metro Ron Massey Cup sides now. We still get Penrith up and down with the players. They take our players up there when they've got problems or send them back to us. But they it's working pretty good, and we're just hopefully that it'll continue anyway.
Charity's played a big part in not only what St Mary's Leagues does, but yourself personally. Long time involvement in the Variety Bash. Tell me about your first one and how you got involved with it.
Yeah, the first one was in, about 20 years ago, 21 years ago. They had a Variety ring up and ask, could they we help with doing a function, fundraising at the club. We said yes, so we had the turnout. There was a full house in the Baronia room, and they got me up on stage, and the CEO then of the Variety offered to sell us a car for a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I haven't got a dollar on me, but somebody gave me a dollar. So we bought the car, and then it cost us about $7,000 to get it ready.
Yeah.
So it's... but since then, we've had four cars now. And now they've reduced it's got to be at least 25 years old, and now we've got the latest one we haven't used yet, but it's ready to go. We've got a 1997 now Ford, isn't it? Ford, yeah. So that's a difference from the 1977 jobs we've been having.
Yeah. So how many have you been on personally now?
I've been on about 20 now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and what makes you want to go back to it? What's so enjoyable about that?
The one thing about with our club, there's when you're on the Variety, every morning and lunch, there's schools that supply the food and for breakfast and lunch, and they I ring them up, and we supply. Football, soccer balls, basketballs, all sporting gear to each of those clubs, each of those schools, and anything else they might ask for. We've supplied jerseys, we've supplied tennis rackets, we've supplied that much gear to all those schools. When there's some of the schools only got 8, 10, 12 kids in them, so we ring them up and I ring up the school, contact the schools and ask them what's going on. What their kids would like, a football or a soccer ball or basketball, and we do up a special pack for each of those kids. So when they get to school, it's just amazing that the support that the kids, you know, they're just that happy that they got a brand new football or a soccer ball or whatever. Plus anything else, we ask the school what they'd like. And of course, Variety do give the schools a donation too. But and we just give away a lot of things that to each school.
Yeah, it's certainly been a great initiative that St Mary's has been involved with now for a long time, as you mentioned. As would come with being in the role for so many decades, you won a lot of awards, had a lot of honours over the years. But I think it was 2017. You're on the Queen's Birthday Honours list. That must have been a particular honour for you.
Yeah, that was a great honour, and it's really appreciated. It was just it was a shock too, actually. But I really appreciated that honour, and it's been fantastic.
You also, in terms of honours, when you recently announced that you'd be retiring, there was a lot of tributes from people elsewhere in the club industry. So, does it make you happy and proud as well that you've managed to put yourself in pretty high esteem within the club industry? And how difficult can that be? Because it's a difficult world at times and a tough industry.
Yeah, it is. It's been a great honour. And I've had a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails from people that I've met and made friends with throughout all those years, and it's been it's just blown me away, really, from knowing that people sort of appreciated what we were doing and what the club was doing, and the community also that. Been out and about and helping the community, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, it was great to see those tributes. You mentioned earlier your marriage to Robin. She was by your side for many, many years and passed away a little over 10 years ago now. Tell me about Robin and how you first met and your marriage.
Yeah, we first met at Tookley with me and my mate. We met up with Robin and her friend, and my mate and I, we end up both marrying the girls.
Yeah.
And that was how it happened. I had two girls, and they've got two boys. One's got two boys, one's got two girls, and I've got two great-grandkids now. So it's been great. And but the only thing is, Robin, of course, she didn't like football much.
Okay, that's interesting. So
I'm afraid no. She, I don't think she's seen came to too many games. She was me and my old mate, old Ron Coscari, Cozzy. He was. We were very good friends, both my wife and his wife, and that sort of thing. And they always used to say, "Why don't we get married?" Cozzy and I. So, but it was just rugby league, and apart from that, she came to a few games, but not too many.
You mentioned family there. Family connection is pretty big right throughout St Mary's when you look at the surnames of people who've come through the club.
No, that's for sure, and they. It's just you're right, because a lot of the parents now are coming and having their sons or daughters now in playing rugby league with our club. It's just St Mary's, and now we've got over 200 girls playing in the club, which is great, and it's growing every year.
You made the decision and announced it a few weeks ago now that you'll be standing down as president. Yeah. So how long have you been thinking about that, and why the decision to call it a day now?
Well, I'm getting on. I'm 84, and I thought it was just about time stand back a bit and let the board continue to do what's been going on, what we've been doing, and continue on the work that I hope I've left a legacy for them to look up to and to hope to you know, they will continue making St Mary's a great club.
Were you wrestling with it for a while? When did you finally make the call?
We've had strategic planning sessions every year for, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, when I actually said to the board, you know, I've got a couple more years left in me, and then each year I've sort of said, I think I've got a couple more years, and then last strategic planning session, I thought, well, it's time, and that at the season's launch I'd retire, and it was just great to see Prue Carr there too, Deputy Premier. She attended. She's a great supporter of St Mary's Leagues, and it was great to see her there, especially how busy she is, to turn up and say a few words and be with us again.
Even though you obviously, you know, made the decision and it's on your own terms, which I know a lot of people get to do, but still a bit of sadness attached with leaving after so long.
Yeah, it is. I thought I was going to break down. I almost did, but I believe there's quite a few. I had all my family, or except two of the family there, and they all had tears, and I think quite a lot of others in there were very teary too. After I had a bit of a speech, and then they did a thing on the screen about what I've done over the years and that sort of thing, and the talk. From those people and also from people not involved with rugby league and also the current players at Panthers also said a few words. It was just, there's a lot of women, I believe. I know there's a lot of women there that were a bit teary. But, yeah, it was a fantastic night, and, I got through it anyways.
You got there without breaking down in the end. How do you feel you've left St Mary's? Where's the future for the club in terms of both challenges and achievements, and where do you think it's heading the next few years?
Well, they're listed. They're restricted now to the. We've got 58 teams. That'll be the restriction for now everything. And it's just the board's. Board's looking, even though we've just finished our extension again, the board's thinking of touring again to have a look at other facilities and to really keep on top of what we've done already and what they're going to do. I'm still a life member of the club. The board last night and at the next AGM will nominate me as their patron. Of the club, which is I think is pretty good on. Absolutely. Really appreciate it. So that's looking forward to. I'll be involved with organising the our under 13s go away on tour every year. We'll still be organising that sort of thing and fundraising and anything else I can do with the charities and that sort of thing. I'll be around whenever needed.
I was going to say, well, what's next, but it sounds like what's next is still being involved with St Mary's Leagues.
it sure is. I'll still be involved and still be at the games and still being there to do whatever I can to help and support the community too. If I can turn up at any of the functions, and which I certainly will, I'll be there.
What are you most proud of in your time at St Mary's, almost 40 years there?
I'm just proud to be able to every year when the board selects their president to have that much faith in me that I continue on each year. That's just every year seems to be something special.
You've also obviously, you know, you mentioned before you're almost 84, but you've remained at the top of your game as the president. You're pretty sharp. I know you've just had a knee replacement, so not moving around as quickly right at the moment. But do you think St Mary's and being involved with the club has helped with that, keep you sort of sprightly and fit and moving around? Or what is the other secret that we need to know of?
No, I think it's just the club, the football, and going to all the games, training and that sort of thing, checking on how things are going. certainly doesn't keep me at home. So I'm out and about just about all the time, and it's just helped me to continue on being involved instead of sitting around, getting out and doing things, and knowing that if the places I've visited with Julia, with as far as the grants are concerned and all that sort of thing, it just just makes me feel good.
A tricky question to finish, but how would Warren Smith like to be remembered?
Just as somebody that's helped. I hope so that's helped St Mary's Leagues grow to what they are now.
Well, it's been a terrific journey with St Mary's. You've achieved plenty, and St Mary's are one of the powerhouse clubs in New South Wales, but one of the powerhouse junior rugby league clubs, of course, in Penrith as well. Warren, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Troy.
And I hope you enjoyed our chat. On the Record is produced by The Western Weekender. To hear future episodes, search Western Weekender wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure you hit subscribe. Check out westernweekender.com.au. And don't forget our new podcast, The 10-Minute Match Day. Out every single Penrith Panthers home game and away game, every game through the season, myself and Nathan Taylor take you through your last final word preview of the Panthers up against whoever they might be up against that weekend. The 10-Minute Match Day, you'll find it on the Western Weekender feed as usual. We'll see you next time.